Chris, it's always great to have you on. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. And if you don't mind, I'd like to start with college football right now because the rankings are coming out tomorrow. And there are a couple of things I want to address. You know, to me, if you're Michigan and you go on the road in that environment and you lose in overtime, you know, I know it's not a win, but you know what? I it's not to me, like, I don't look at Michigan like, oh, my God, they lost. You know what I mean? And then I go back to the team that you and I and Doug have been talking about, Washington. They didn't just beat Washington State. They clobbered them. So the two questions I have. If Washington beats Colorado, do they have to beat them by a sizable margin, in your opinion? Is the score of the Pac-12 championship going to be important to them to be a Final Four team without even knowing anything else that may happen?
It wouldn't hurt. I don't believe that. I think that it'll be decided on a number of factors, but certainly a decisive win would certainly help the optics. I mean, let's call it like it is. As I said to you several weeks ago, if Washington ran the table and was unbeaten, they're in. You lose a game, and then it's a beauty contest. You're right about Michigan. Michigan's problem, they lost Iowa. And, you know, everybody's got a problem except Alabama. You know, Ohio State had the bad game against Penn State. So, you know, you can make the case against everyone and for everyone that's in the contender position. So I think in their case, the thing that's going against Washington is, okay, you lost to USC, and that non-conference schedule is going to come back to haunt them. Now, again, no fault to them. As an administration, they schedule those games year in advance when they didn't quite frankly expect they would be in the playoff hunt this year, but that's what they're facing. Had they beaten a Texas Tech instead of Rutgers, if they had played instead of Portland State, a couple of other teams, and then I think they'd be in a better position. I think they're good. I think they're one of the four best, but I think they're probably, if you look at the top six or eight teams, I think they're interchangeable, and I think this is going to be potentially very controversial depending on how this week shapes up, because I think Ohio State, for example, is one of the four best teams, but, you know, I can sit there and understand somebody saying, well, wait a minute, you can't take Ohio State ahead of Penn State. Penn State beat them, but you got two lost Penn State. I mean, all those things are very arguable points, and I don't know that we're going to have a clean, you know, fit this year because we still got some possibilities of things can happening this weekend. Alabama's definitely in. We'll see if Ohio State's definitely in. I think their chances are really good. Clemson is in if they win. I think everything else is questionable at this point.
Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. I think Chris just said, quit playing cupcakes. That's right, Chris. Let's go into the computer, and I'm gonna bounce an idea, and then I just want to hear what you're thinking. So Washington loses to Colorado. And Penn State loses to Wisconsin. Tell me what happens.
Well, I'm assuming, because you didn't say it, that Clemson won. So it's Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. And then I think that Penn State loses, then that leaves that fourth spot. So Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State.
Yep.
And then you're dealing with the – right now you're looking at – I don't think Oklahoma gets in. I think now you're looking at, first of all, I don't think Colorado gets in. What Grant said, you know, talking about Michigan.
Yep.
Colorado was lost to Michigan. So I think that's where you look at Michigan as possibly getting in.
Okay.
And I think Michigan gets in over Wisconsin. They beat Wisconsin. So I do think that's where you get the two Big Ten teams in under your scenario. Michigan, Ohio State, because you just said Washington lost. I think they get in. I think Colorado's outside looking in. Oklahoma's looking outside looking in. And I think Wisconsin, as a Big Ten champion, might be on the outside looking in. They may take the Big Ten champion. I don't see them taking a Big Ten Wisconsin over Michigan. I don't see it. I think Ohio State and Michigan will go in because they both have beaten Wisconsin. Hmm. And Wisconsin came in from the west part. Now, Penn State's a different scenario. I know that doesn't fit your scenario, but just to bring it out, Penn State won the East. They beat out Michigan and Ohio State to get to the East, even though They lost to Michigan, big.
Sure.
Boy, this is, you know, it's 6 degrees of separation going haywire.
We're talking with Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. I got one more question about college, and we'll go to the NFL. You know, you're looking at Coach Herman going to Texas, and my question is, who is in charge of Texas football? You know, like, is it – no, really. I mean, if you're – are the boosters running that program? Or is the – I mean, what – I know it's a complex question, but if you're a head coach and you want to go to Texas, what assurances are you getting that the distractions, which are the big-time boosters, are not going to be stepping all over you?
Well, you don't have that guarantee. You've got right now what I would label as a short-term president and athletic director, meaning they're not going to be around long. They're kind of filling in, and they have the role. They're not interim, but they're not long for that role because they're looking to move to more of a permanent situation. So I think that here's what I would say. The boosters always have a great deal of influence. I think it was very unfair and unfortunate that Charlie Strong never got that support. I think Charlie did a good job rebuilding the program. He didn't win enough. And in his third year, if he had not lost to Kansas and not lost to TCU, he probably gets another year, even though some of the boosters didn't want that. That's what the president and athletic director wanted. But after losing to Kansas, first time since 1938, and then getting blown out by TCU, it was in the works to get Tom Herman before the TCU game, and any chance that Charlie had of hanging on with the backing of the athletic director and president were done. So the big boosters are always going to have support. I will say this, although you can't get it in writing, the boosters believe in Tom Herman. That's who they wanted. I think he's going to get, and this is unfair, he's going to get treated differently. I'm going to say it. I think there were some, from Red McCombs and some others, I think there may be some racial overtones with the Charlie Strong situation. When he initially got the job, to say, this guy would be a good position coach, but not a head coach. Are you kidding me?
That is so sad.
Have you not paid attention, moron, to what this guy did at Louisville? This guy.
That's sad.
But you know,
and you know what?
Tom Herman is a good coach. I think Tom Herman will bring them together.
Yeah.
Charlie, how could Charlie bring somebody together that people that, quite frankly, were never on his side, and some of them were probably waiting for him to fail to say, "You see, I was right."
How many coaches have we seen in the last 2 years get carried off the field after huge wins the way the team carried off Charlie Strong? When I see that, that tells me all I need to know about how the players felt about their coach.
They do. I agree with you. The only problem with that is, why the hell did they not show up against Kansas and TCU?
I know. You know what?
You know, I mean, it's great to lift them off on your shoulders.
I know.
How about tackling somebody?
Yeah.
Jiminy Christmas.
That's the thing, Grant, that
frustrates me. You are right. They loved him. Why didn't they fight for them on the field?
Yeah. That's a great point.
I think that president and AD were fighting to bring him back, and I think they were going to win in bringing him back until the Kansas game, and then the TCU game. It may have been over by then, but it sure didn't help. I mean, it just their last argument was just wiped out. I mean, it was out of their hands then, because at that point they said, you know what, I can't argue for the guy. I love him, and they all love him. But, man, why didn't they fight for him? You're right. They love him, and let me tell you this. The program's in better shape. They're going to win, and they're going to win soon because he's recruited well and he's changed the culture. Unfortunately, he just couldn't get anything done, and I'm telling you, he beats Kansas and TCU. He's still got a job right now.
Man, we kind of seen that in the NBA with Golden State and Mark Jackson, and all of a sudden they took off, and I think that's what's going to happen in Texas. It's unfortunate. They are going to ascend with a nice young quarterback and a lot of good pieces that, unfortunately, they just couldn't put together.
I think you're right, and I'm going to be – one that's going to say, hey, let's not forget Charlie and the job that he did, because he had a big part of that. And sometimes the change is inevitable. I hate it, but I don't think they had a choice considering how they finished. I don't know what you can get. So I'm with you guys, but I also say, hey, Jiminy Christmas.
Unbelievable.
Right, yes. Up on the field.
Hey, Chris, holidays are here. You know, we have a lot of gals that listen to our show, too. And I don't want to stereotype here because your website, you know, I think could make a great holiday gift. And I know that there are some new holiday promos out there. And, like, for instance, I'm on your website right now, and I'm looking at your AFC West, you know, preview. And to me, this is such an amazing, intriguing division because the Raiders have to play three or four on the road in December. But let's talk about some of these new you know, promos for people to get LandryFootball.com.
Well, it is a great gift idea. If you sign up between now and December 31st, you can sign up for yourself. We got a lot of great subscribers that are ladies that are big football fans. For you, your loved one, give them a gift. It's 60% off. It's $39.99. So for $40, you can get a full calendar year of LandryFootball.com. If you sign up between now and December 31st, using the code 40, that'll get you the discount. And if you got any questions, any problems, just email us and we'll take care of you. But yeah, it would take care of everything. There's no offseason in football. We've got free agency, the draft, recruiting, everything. And, of course, the rest of this football season, we break down the game from inside the film room, giving you a scouting and coaching perspective.
We only have a minute left, but I got to go back to this AFC West. I don't know if I've seen, I don't think anybody's seen a game like we quite saw on Sunday night. You know, the Chiefs, and I know they just lost to Tampa, but we just saw Tampa beat Seattle. So let's not just say that Tampa's chopped liver, but the Chiefs are one of these teams similar to what the Raiders. They're just finding ways to win games.
Yeah, and the Raiders may be a little more explosive. Kansas City is maybe a little bit more functionally sound on defense and how they play coverage, better secondary. But you're right, big win for them. And, you know, when it's all said and done, you know San Diego is probably going to have a lot to say about who wins this division, because try to beat that team if you're trying to if you're Oakland or Kansas City or Denver and you're trying to win the division. I think all four teams in the AFC West are better than every team in the AFC South.
Chris, we'll talk to you next week. It's always great having you on.
Great to be with you guys. Take care. Thank you so much.